Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. I hope you're very well. You're listening to Autistic Voices on UK Health Radio. I'm Evelyn Charmer. I'm a paediatric therapist and I'm the director of Ed Elf Child Therapy Limited and its sister training company for therapists, the Child Hypnotherapy Institute. And I've recently been diagnosed autistic myself. So I'm very inspired to bring you a diverse and rich range of autistic voices from the community. People who are diagnosed, people who are not diagnosed, people who work alongside and collaborate with autistic families or autistic adults, people who identify as neurodivergent. Please come and join the conversation. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at Evelyn, that's EvaLynne, at childhypnotherapyinstitute.com, or contact me via the show. Thank you for joining me with Autistic Voices on UK Health Radio. Welcome to Autistic Voices, listeners. I'm Evelyn Charmer. This is UK Health Radio. And my guest of the week is a lovely guy from Hull. His name's Paul Cuttle. So welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you.
And I believe you've got someone with you today as well, a guy called Joe, who's a personal trainer. So welcome, Joe.
Yeah. Welcome. Thank you. I'll try and advertise, but Joe Baxter Fitness.
You'll see. Joe Baxter Fitness. Well, why not?
Can I go wrong?
Okay, so it's lovely to meet you and have a bit of a chat.
I think the best way to describe it is when I was growing up as a child, I just thought I was very naughty, a clever naughty person, I think, but I could not see that myself. And then I don't know how it happened, but I was destined, hopefully, to be a footballer and I had a bad injury. So I decided I had to do something else. The injury cut my career short, so I had to go and do something different. And I ended up doing sports, sort of science and all that kind of thing. And then I went to university and I did something really different. And it was called policy, politics and psychology.
Wow. Big diversion from sport.
Don't even ask. I don't even know. So I remember sitting in the first lecture thinking, I kind of like this, but I can't spell. I can't read properly. So what am I going to do? So anyway, I sat next to somebody who was a little bit probably kind of stranger than me. He ended up with a double first degree, by the way. But, and then when I went through a few of the lecturers, somebody said to me, you need to come with me because you keep getting 68% because all your words are all jumbled up and some of the things you're saying is very strange. So anyway, I had a few, put a big like OHP on the board and asked me to read it. But I didn't realise, but all the words was jumbled up.
Okay.
So I managed to read it really fast and I was like, yes, I like this. So then she said, oh, you could be autistic, and then did subsequent tests and said, oh, you've got all the other sort of things what come with it, ADHD, blah, blah, blah.
Well, it sounds like dyslexia as well.
Yeah, I've got the full spectrum. I know I've got it. All I do is I just found ways to survive or help. Yeah. And so... like one of the things when I was a child, I used to go and sit, let's just say geeks, just so we can kind of get an idea. People who play chess and guitar and music and creative. So I was a brilliant sportsman, but then I used to disappear into the library with all the geeks.
Yeah, so you were drawn to people who were interested in, well, it sounds like a lot of things, music, yeah. Art, creative things, politics, love, that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. It's what creates.
Sorry to interrupt you. So just to sort of complete the journey, it's never completed, but from not knowing that you were neurodivergent at all to finding out that you have ADHD, you're autistic, dyslexic, that happened in university.
Yeah.
Okay. So how did you feel about it when you were assessed and diagnosed?
Just made sense.
Yeah. You're smiling, it's fine. So it's a happy made sense.
It is that happy sense, yeah. I realised I know a lot about myself, which is one of the things is I only cry when I'm happy or a few things. I don't cry at sadness. I actually don't get that. I don't get it at all. So when I go to funerals, it's like a bit strange. So
yes.
And I can tell the difference between crocodile tears and all that kind of thing anyway. So I started to discover a lot about myself.
Yeah.
And then a bit later on, after I completed university, which was, I didn't realise just how much it was influencing my brain and life till later on after the event. And then I bumped into a similar teacher. She was called Nancy. She's an Indian lady. And she gave me further tests to confirm it. So I went for week after week until I went, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
But apparently she was doing my IQ as well. But I'm not really interested in all that. I'm just interested in being the best person I can be.
Yeah. You said, it's interesting that you said earlier that when you were little, when you were a young lad at school, that you were thought of as naughty.
Oh, and
yeah, so it's interesting, isn't it? I'm really interested in psychology. And obviously, you've just mentioned you did the bit of that at uni. Do you think that influenced you then? That, you know, you say you want to be the best person you can be, that when you were younger, people thought that you weren't the best person you could be.
So I found if I could do focus on something, I could do practically anything I wanted to. But football was a good one because it was just, it could earn good money. I could give her something back and give her a lifestyle when she was not having a good time with my father. I want to be clear that my father wasn't a bad person.
Yeah.
He just was, he didn't understand himself.
Yeah, as a lot of people in their generation.
Yeah.
We're a lot more self-aware now.
Yeah, I'm totally. He did, when he was dying of esophagus, to forgive him, and I did.
Yeah, good for you.
Because I don't think he knew exactly what he was doing, and I think after getting to know him later on, he said something. Let me say.
It's okay.
He said he wished he'd been like me.
Oh, what a wonderful thing to say. Now, I can see you getting very teary and emotional. And
yeah, but they're happy tears because I think it was a really happy moment.
It sounds like it was a real, it was closure before he died.
A lot of people say they forgive, but they haven't really got it truly in the heart.
Yeah.
And I believe that because I just call my brain the way it's wired. I just think that it's actually a great thing.
Do you know, it sounds like you've got a real lot of emotional intelligence, Paul, to be able to forgive your father and understand the depth of that and what it means.
I say things totally tongue-in-cheek. I'm very happy what I am. I believe it's a gift. And I believe that if children, autistic children, or anybody, any children at any age, and listen to and talk to properly, they can be very creative and beautiful people.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think the problem's maybe not with the children, but with the parents sometimes. And I've started to work with underprivileged parents, single mums, and I like to think I'm doing a good job. So.
Well, tell us a bit more about that then. So you know that I work with children and young people and parents and carers myself. I'm very passionate about helping young people, and I've I'm currently, and over the last few years, my focus has been mainly working with children and young people who are also autistic, dyslexic, have ADHD, etc.
Yeah.
And for the same reasons that you're talking about, I believe that if you can really listen to and be instinctive and respond to a young person, help them to understand themselves better, then you can tap into their authentic self and help them to develop their sense of identity. And I think it's really powerful work. So tell me about the sort of work you're doing with families at the moment then.
To be honest, I don't know. It happens. Maybe I'll make it happen. But for example, I'm working with a single mum. She's 29. She's got a boy and a girl, and they're obviously split with the parents and so forth. She's never had any much money. She was brought up by a Philippine mother who could hardly speak in English, and her dad died very young. So she got pregnant very early. She must have been about 16, something like that. by an older guy, and he's the father of the children. However, she has no concept of, she's got no siblings, no friends, and she has no idea what maybe even a family unit is like. But I come from a lot of brothers and sisters, as you can see, and uncles. And she's a carer, believe it or not, very underpaid. And I just started to help her as a friend, and I'm doing it to this day. Oh. So I managed to find free things, swimming lessons.
So tell me a bit about your job then. I know you work for local authority. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I'm actually, believe it or not, I won't tell anybody I work here, but I'm very proud of what I do. I graduated in 95, 96, I got the job. I came in as like a manager, a supervisor for Halton Praise Leisure Centre and Beverley Leisure Centre. And then they said, oh, would you like to specialise more in the fitness industry because memberships, business, all this sort of stuff. So I thought, oh, this is good because I can be very creative. Memberships, different types, advertising, everything. I was doing it for two sites. And then it got that big that they said, oh, do you want to choose one site? So I chose one site. But behind all that was a thing called exercise referral scheme.
Okay.
Basically, I got qualified by doing this separate course with this company called the YMCA, which is like fitness industry standard. But I was probably one of the only ones to have the qualification. And my aim was to try to encourage doctors to refer people to somebody like Joe PT, myself, etc., and use exercise as a medium for good mental health, fitness, health, well-being.
Brilliant.
And it's massive now. It's like everywhere, and there's like loads of people doing all these different jobs that I don't even know what to do. So they keep me in line. But I decided when I went to meetings, because I was like a manager now, fitness coordinator, as you call it, all these crazy names. I decided that I was going around in circles in the meetings. So I thought, how can I get myself banned from meetings? So I spoke the truth. And then they tried to threaten me, and then I realised that didn't work. So they said, would you just go and work with people at the front? And that's all I wanted to do anyway.
So you kind of manipulated the situation.
Yeah,
Paul, that's what you said.
I admit it online, Evelyn. Yeah, it was me.
Do you know, are your managers going to listen to the show?
Probably.
Yeah. Do you want me to edit that bit out?
No.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, well, I just thought I'd ask. And I've just realised where we know each other from.
Yes.
The gym.
You see? Yes.
We both had blonde hair, do you remember? And I came in with dark hair and you had really dark hair.
Yeah.
And you were laughing about it and you told me that you were going to see some relatives. Was it in Thailand?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And in order for them to feel more comfortable with you, you decided to dye your hair dark so that you were like them. But when you got there, they dyed their hair blonde to be like you.
Yeah.
And I remember that. That's how we... When I came on to interview you, because listeners, if you're listening, I do my interviews on Zoom so we can see each other, because I think it's much better if we can see each other and have eye contact and stuff. And I thought, I know you from somewhere, Paul, and now it's all fitting together. So I have just recently rejoined the gym, so I'll see you in there.
I'm kind of taking a couple of weeks rest because my body and my mind are saying you need to take a little break.
Yes. Talking about that then, so it's autistic burnout is what you're experiencing, isn't it? And do you mind saying a bit about how your body and mind are telling you that you need to take a rest? But what we're going to do is to have a break for some music so you can have a think about it, and then we'll have a chat after the ads and the music.
This little one tries as hard as she can, do anything just so she can fit in. She wants a friend so bad, she'll do whatever they tell her. To make them smile, she would misbehave, but all the while they would laugh in her face. She begins to cry because she thought that they liked her. Even though you feel all alone, it can't rain every day, it don't rain forever. The sunshine may be gone, I know. It can't rain every day. But today he got a call from his job. They got something to tell him. They laid him off, now he's out in the street. He's gotta do what it takes so his family can eat. Can even look at his wife, cause he feels like he fell down. Even though you feel all alone, it can't rain every day. It don't rain forever. Your sunshine may be gone, but I know it can't rain every day. It don't rain forever.
Makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer. Part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, welcome back to Autistic Voices with Evelyn. You're listening to Paul Cuttle today, who's been telling us loads of really personal stuff. Thank you for being so open with us, Paul. Welcome back.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
So before the break, I asked whether you'd mind telling our listeners a bit about how you know that you were saying that you're ready for a couple of weeks rest.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because I know about anatomy, physiology, and I still study quite openly with psychology, I swear I've try to figure out myself as well as other people I work with, you see, because when a person comes to me with, for example, overweight, terminal illnesses, disabilities, Parkinson's disease, I think over the years they've taught me about self-awareness.
Yeah, I love that.
I still can't see myself in a lot of things. Like when I said, and it's sort of related, for example, people used to laugh at me, but I realised that they weren't laughing at me. I was actually quite funny.
Yeah, so at the time,
according to other people, I still don't see it.
At the time, you thought they were laughing at you?
Not with me, yeah.
Not with you, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that kind of used to think, I'm just actually being honest and telling you what I feel and why they're laughing. So I've had to 360 degrees around me.
Yes.
Not think about stuff.
And how do you know at the moment, what's telling you that you need to rest?
Okay, my body, autoimmune system, I'll just ache everywhere.
Yeah.
And I go to acupuncture, which is good, by the way. And basically my body will come out like a breakout of like spots. It's your autoimmune system pushing all the stuff out of you, what you build up, like your toxins and everything else. So basically what you have to do is think, right, okay, rest, calm down, be on my own. So I've been out for my anniversary. I took it to a big tent in the country.
Oh.
So an escapism, really, and go on a farm and do all that kind of stuff. Just really, I mean, it's pretty selfish, really, because I need it.
Well, I'm sure your wife understands. How long have you been with her?
8 years.
8 years, yeah. She understands, and I'm sure that it's not the first time you've needed to get away from the city and out into nature.
I've had to, I suppose, educate her. She knows I'm different in many ways. But she's also Thai, so her culture's different. But I like Eastern philosophy anyway.
Yeah.
So when I talk to her, she looks at me and I talk to her about Buddhism or whatever it may be, and she looks and she said, I don't understand that. And I said, what, the middle part? Yeah, so I'll know more about probably religion than she does, but she does follow that Buddhist way.
Yes.
So it took her a long time to understand that this is the way I am. I think even after about 6 years, she said to me, are you going to ever be unhappy one day? Just please be unhappy. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. It must be hard living with somebody who's just happy all the time. And as I said, I don't really connect with sadness because I think it's irrational. And it's just a self, something you do to yourself rather than, yeah. It's the difference between like fear and danger. So fear is made in your head and it's not real. I know it can feel real as real, mm-hmm. but danger is, I don't know, like a tiger in the corner waiting to eat you. That's danger. And if it was actually there.
It's logical. It's rational. It's real. Yes.
Yes. So I don't understand that. I just think, well, why would you spend more time being unhappy when you could just look at, I'll go outside. For example, there's a big trees where I go, big oak trees, and I'll know whether a leaf has fallen off that tree. And it's like, but I thought everybody could do that. Everybody looks at the same thing.
Yeah.
But then you realise that they don't. I think sometimes if I go shopping in the day, you see people actually sleepwalking.
Yes.
Not like they're in some kind of automatic mode.
Do you know, it's interesting you say that. I work a lot with autistic young people. And when I say young people, they can be as young as 5 or 6 and usually no older than 26, but I work with adults as well that are autistic or have another neurodivergence. And one of the young guys I speak with quite a lot, and I'm not going to name him because he might not want me to, but he talks a lot about that he finds it really difficult to walk around, and he feels that he says the human race is asleep, they need to wake up. That quite a lot. And in terms of what you just said as well about sadness and logic and rationale, I know where you're coming from, and I work with hypnotherapy, which is about looking at the subconscious belief system and what's going on in your brain when you are scared or fearful. And most anxiety and stress comes from thinking, doesn't it? So I really like working with hypnotherapy and something called CBT, cognitive behavior therapy, which is about working out your thoughts and your feelings and how that affects your behaviors.
Did a little touch of that. I went to Sheffield Alum personally to do motivational interviewing.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard of that one?
Yes.
And I know it can be misused because basically I have fun with it sometimes. But I know it's like, give me a loaded gun in it, really. So I very quickly realised that that was a really lovely way to sort of, well, to put it simply, there's one of these and two of those for a reason, isn't there?
So he's pointing to his mouth and ears when he says
that. So basically one mouth, two ears, and two ears for a reason. So we should listen twice as much as we talk. Because while you're talking, you're not learning. So people didn't teach me this stuff, or they did. Maybe subliminally, I don't know. But sometimes I think, how do I actually know that? I just think, okay, I know it, great. I'll just take it as a gift. So people ask me if I've got any kind of mantra or anything, and I just say, yeah, I'm a really bad person being good, trying to be good.
I'm a really bad person trying to be good. That's your mantra.
Yeah. Because if I can keep, because the ego, if you know about the ego, that can basically overtake. So, you know, obviously you appear on a radio station and you think, oh, I'm bees knees, but you're not. You're just very privileged to have be able to speak to somebody like mine did. And hopefully, one of my main aims today is that it helps somebody. That's it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the whole point of doing this radio show, so I don't get paid for it and it's not my job. I do it on top of my job. I have to find the guests. I produce the show. I do the interviews, the editing, everything. But I do it because I do it out of love, and I do it out of love for everybody, because I think neurodivergent, neurotypical, it doesn't really matter. It's about helping people to understand each other that little bit more. And if I have a guest on the show and something they say resonates with one person in the world, the station goes out in 52 different countries, so it's worldwide, even though it's called UK Health Radio. But you just think, if you're going into someone's ears and a light bulb goes on, or someone feels a connection, or I think that might be me, or thank God it's not just me, you know, or anything like that. I think it's really powerful. And also, the only way to educate people about what it's like to be autistic is to talk to lots of different people, because it's different for everyone.
Yeah, it's really good, actually, because I have started to, over the last maybe 1 to 2 years, tell everybody I am. And I think they go, oh, yeah, like as if like it's a problem. And that makes me laugh. And then, but what happens usually is, by saying that, people are a little bit more attentive. They tend to think, okay, I allow for his quirkiness, or whatever you want to call it. And then they connect better for some reason.
Well, I think they feel that they can feel that they understand you. And I think everyone I've spoken to, Paul, and my own, I only was diagnosed late last year. So, and I'm 54. Keep having to.
You see, I'm 53.
Are you? Yeah. We're young spirits, aren't we? And old souls. Young spirits, old soul.
Yeah, that's what people tell me.
I get different reactions. Do you?
Yeah, Tom.
Do you ever get people not believing that you are, or questioning it?
Oh, yeah. So basically, if I was in a wheelchair, you'll see it, right?
Yeah.
You'll see my disability. But because I'm not in a wheelchair, and I'm obviously, but people think I'm really capable and really clever. So, but I just think, no, I'm not. I'm just applying my thoughts and also paying attention. That's all I'm doing. I'm no different to you. But effectively, they're like, they'll have a problem, for example. I'll just blurt out all this stuff for ages and it'll go away. And somebody brought me a box of tissues. So I said, well, that's that for? So I said, well, everybody who comes out of your office always cried. They have to start crying. Well, I think it's good, happy tears.
Yeah.
Because it's self-realization. It's just like what I constantly do to myself day in and day out.
How did you meet your wife?
I was going out to a company, you know, Les Mills, and I was doing a body pump. I was supposed to go out to London to be a master trainer.
Wow.
And my back was hurting. And across the road in Beverly, there was a hairdresser I've been to for years. And she said, oh, you're a personal trainer. You've got clients. We've got a lady at the back. She's does Thai massage. But my wife's very Buddhist. And so I said, in for a penny, in for a pound. So I thought, right, get me back sorted. So I went, I said, I'll have to try her out first. to make sure she's legitimate, and then I can refer her on. So she did me back and put me back right. But then she started to tell me a story about herself. It was such a sad.
And I see you're getting emotional.
But, yeah, because it's beautiful, because she was opening up to me.
Oh, how lovely.
So she was telling me stuff, and it was just so beautiful that I thought, okay. Anyway, I went to the audition in London. I got offered the job to be a master trainer and be on videos. And I just said to her, I'm not going to do it now. So he said, why? So I said, I just wanted to know if I was good enough.
Well, right, interesting.
So don't you want to be on the videos? They're like, no, not really. So that'd be my ego and stuff. And I'm not really, it ain't about ego. It's about, I don't know. It's about just trying to bring some sunshine to people's day.
Do you think a bit of it might have been about validation, Paul? Like validating that you're good enough.
Maybe if I could do what everybody wants to be.
Yeah.
And see if I could be part of that. And by the end of the day, I fitted in really nicely. In fact, I realised sometimes I can be a bit of a, let's just say, this is not the ego talking, a magnet, where people just want to listen to me and hear me and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I need to be on my own now.
Yes, and that's the thing about burnout, isn't it, as well? That a lot of people don't understand about the autistic or the neurodivergent brain, I find, is that you do attract people, and you do have there's just something about, you know, really wanting to engage and connect with people on a really deep level, but also, and being quite sociable and chatty and open, but then needing to sort of really just download and just be on your own and just have, you know, peace and quiet. And I think that's why you and I probably share the same need to get out of town, get into nature. I like the fact, you know, I go to a place in Northumberland, which is a big bell tent in the woods, you know.
Yeah.
I've got a hot tub now, so I can just immerse in water. Things like that. But I'm out in the woods all the time with my dog and things like that, because if I don't download or decompress, as I call it, then I can get very stressed and anxious very well.
I don't get stressed.
What happens to you if you don't take that time for yourself?
What happens to me?
Hmm.
I just instinctively know. I don't know why. Whether I've got some kind of guardian angel. Oh, the kids call me Angel, by the way, which is quite amazing. So I've got a new nickname. And I thought, well, do you know what? I like Angel. So I now look at me name Paul as a slave name, the one I was given.
Yeah.
And I am actually trying to change it. There you go. Anyway, I don't want to go off on a tangent. But, because obviously Jane and Jimmy are very close to my heart, and they allow me to be myself.
Yeah.
I can be quirky. If I want to dye my hair blue and braid it, I'll do it. But I've got blue braids. But I'm colourblind, so apparently it's meant to be bad boy blue, but it's green, apparently, to everybody. But then you'll meet what I'd called alpha males, and they'll say to me, what have you done to your hair? So I said, why? So they said, what have you done to your hair? So I said, why? So I said, and it'll go on for ages, and they'll say, it ain't nothing. I said, I do it because I like it and because I can, and it might raise a smile, but you seem to have a bit of a problem with it. And I said, don't be afraid.
What a wonderful response.
I'm growing up with a Sergeant MP dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he makes me tough, and for some reason, from what I know, and I don't know whether I can prove this, but a lot of autistic are strong people.
Yes.
Not just mentally, I'm talking physically for some reason. So basically, I didn't have a problem with that at school. I want a sheep, but at the same time, nobody bothered me. There was incidences why, but I don't really talk about that because it's, I think, the
problem. Yeah, of course. Well, let's break for some more music and ads.
Yeah.
And then take a moment, have a drink, and we'll come back in a moment. Okay.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at AlgaCells know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. AlgaCells, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. AlgaCells, life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Of a fairy tale, you can take the future, even if you fail. I believe in angels, something good in everything I see. I believe in angels when I know the time.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Evelyn Charmer on UK Health Radio. This is Autistic Voices. And my voice of the week is a lovely guy called Paul Cuttle from Hull. He's been really open with us all, and I hope you're enjoying listening to him as much as I am. So welcome back, Paul. Okay. All right, so why don't you talk to me about, do you think it's helped you, the fact that you are so interested in sport and fitness and that kind of thing? Do you think that's helped you mentally as well as physically over the years?
Without a doubt, because we all know, I mean, obviously I know in studies now that it's linked to serotonin in the brain, the good feel factors. And I think because I realise it ain't just about the physical, it's about how we think mentally as well. I mean, that's the difference what makes people maybe top sportsmen, is because they're willing, for example, to go through pain in order to achieve the prize. And that's quite a special thing. Most people give up with exercise because, oh, I'm making a little bit, I'm out of breath. But to me, those feelings are natural and also necessary. So it's like anything in life. You sometimes have to embrace a bit of pain in order to get... Pain creates the prize. I think that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, I like that.
It's the same in life as it is physically. So once a person has gets used to the feeling that they have to get up early in the morning, and all of a sudden it becomes second nature, well, another person would go, oh, that's my worst nightmare. Mm. Why? Why do you want to sit in bed and waste that time dreaming it away? You can do that for a lifetime, for eternity, if you wish. But this is a very, very small window of opportunity. It's called life. And to just be here must be, I wouldn't even know the odds, but I can imagine them being, the lottery is much easier to win.
Yeah.
And it's a privilege, whatever form you're in, and everybody has a purpose, and we're all connected.
So you're talking about getting, just living your life, and being in the moment and being out there and
trying to be the best person you can be.
Yeah.
For example, I mean, I'm into everything. I listen to everything. Like, I hear about pronouns and transgenders, but biologically, we are what we are.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to say that somebody who's going through this change, I understand a person would be trapped in a, like I say, a male body wants to be female, I get that, but it's still connected to our brains.
Mm.
And one of the reasons why I was found out to be autistic, because I was in a feminist discussion at university.
Right.
And it was going on about this and history and men and females and transgender and sexuality. So I just piped up after ages and I just said, why don't you just change history to hairstory? and I've done with it.
I like that. I mean, that's something that no one else has said that. Who cares?
It's just a word.
Yeah.
Do you think an animal in the wild, a monkey on a tree, worries about whether it's a pronoun or a hare or a she? They're just being.
They're just being, yeah. And I have to say to the...
Whether they're gay monkey or not, it doesn't really matter.
I sometimes say to people, remember we're human beings, not human doings.
Yeah, that's true. Do
you think there's... I mean, you work in the fitness industry.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a place in the fitness industry for room to develop for, I don't know, fitness classes for neurodivergent people?
This is that thing about separatism.
Yeah.
Why not just be involved in... What happens is, if we separate things or people into different groups, it's okay, age is age, 50 plus, whatever. Which you do need a mate, but why not just have something where everybody could go to? And then,
what I'm thinking is, from a personal point of view, I love going to the gym and I love exercise and I really reap the benefits mentally, but I find the gym sometimes the lights are too bright, the music's pounding or yeah. really repetitive and too loud. I find the environment on a sensory level can be really difficult. And I also work with professionally lots of young people who really want to exercise, but they, for social anxiety or other reasons or sensory reasons, they wouldn't go into the leisure centres or the gym.
Right.
So that's kind of what I'm saying. I'm not thinking about segregating people and having autistic specific gym. And, but it's about gyms becoming a little bit more like supermarkets. A lot of supermarkets are now doing a kind of sensory hour.
Yeah.
Once or twice a week where the lighting's lower, the music isn't blaring out. And so it feels a bit more comfortable on a sensory level. So I guess that's what I'm thinking, really, is kind of adjustments. Yeah.
That means we're on the right path, because what we've started to do is where the lights can be dimmed, we're turning the music down. Mm. We do have, I think people forget about it, though. We're supposed to have a where we turn the music and it's just like quiet, etc. The other thing is about that is, like, for example, there's a guy called Sam, and he used to walk around with his fingers in his ears. And I said to his mum, just off the cuff as he walked by, I said to get him some e-defenders.
Yeah.
And he'll go in the gym.
Yeah.
Because I understand, because I've been that person. I am that person. So, yeah, the crux of that is, yeah, we are being aware, but it helps when maybe somebody like myself, and I've got, like, Joe's very... he pretends to be something. He's, you know, like, I'm a Peter, you know, that. But really, he cares.
He's protesting in the background there.
He's really good with all the autistic people come in, learning disabilities. He's fabulous with them.
Well, now when you see me in the gym, you'll know that I'm autistic as well. So, which you didn't know before, and I didn't know you were. But do you know what? It's funny because you're one of the only people that I did speak to in the gym. I felt comfortable. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
We find, I think there are tribes, isn't they? And I think we do.
Well, there you go. Kind of,
we magnetise to people.
Okay. Well, listen, it's been lovely speaking to you. I'm going to round up the interview now. But before I do, is there anything you'd like to say to the world out there?
Wow.
Mm.
I really enjoyed this. That's the first thing. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. No, it's good. I'm really enjoying it too.
As you can see. Before coming in, I said to my friend, you know, the lady who helped with the children, I said to her, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. And she went to me, you'll be all right.
You'll be all right. Yes, it's a chat show after all. So
she said, you'll be fine. You'll know it'll just come out. So, yeah. So I just want to say thank you. And hopefully I'd like to do it again.
Oh, well, you're more than welcome. And also, Paul, I'm expanding the show a little bit, and I'm going to ask some people if they want to come on and be a guest presenter.
Oh, wow.
And interview other people.
Wow.
So if you know any autistic people, put them our way. But also, if that's something you're interested in, you can let me know. And what I've found is I only started this show this year, so I started it in May, because I was thinking there's so many people I speak to who are autistic, and I'd love to get their voices heard in a wider audience. So that's why I started.
I'd like to volunteer my help if that's okay.
Well, if you've got time, it sounds like you've got fingers in every pie, but yes, that would be nice. And also, what's come out of it is I'm meeting people from all over the place through this medium of radio. Uh-huh. And I think it's a tribe in itself.
Absolutely.
So what I'd like to do is put on an event and invite people to come with their partners and their kids or whatever, and maybe have a day at a nice place where people can bring food or have food and maybe a bit of music and just kind of socialise a bit with each other and chat, you know, and people can promote their work and have, you know,
being in an environment where you can just people can relax.
Yeah, and I think it's a seed at the moment. It's a seed, but I'm thinking, you know, why stop at just having people coming on in individual shows? Why not get these people together? Because I'll give them the opportunity to come together if they want to. So watch this space on.
I will now very closely.
Okay, darling. Well, listen, thank you so much for your time. Thank you, Joe, for being there in the background.
It's all right. Do you want to put a face? Come here, Joe.
Yes, let's have a look.
You'll recognize
listeners, you won't be able to see him. Hello. Well, I'll be able to say hello to you now, and I see you in the gym.
It's for higher apparently.
Okay. And if the music's pounding and doing my head in, I'll come and tell you now.
Come and tell us, and we'll sort it for you.
Okay. Well, listen, lovely to see you both, and have a great day, and I'll speak to you soon. Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. I'm Evelyn Charmer. This is Autistic Voices on UK Health Radio. And special thanks to our guest of the week.